you want to turn in Titus chapter 2, we're going to finish chapter 2 this morning. Titus chapter 2. If you guys haven't already heard, Mr. Bennett was born, was it Monday or Tuesday? I don't know. That's Tyler and Jordan. Tyler used to play the drums for us. Darren and April's son, Tyler, and then his wife, Jordan. She had their baby, and so we're so grateful that everything went good and that they are doing well, and pray that they will continue to do so. Pray that this new child that God has given to them would grow in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and in favor with others. I also want to take the opportunity, because it's kind of a unique day when you have four kids, for them to all be here. And especially when they're starting their own families, and when they live in Georgia, it's good to have them all here. So Ryan and Caroline, Ryan is working refresh, Caroline's there on the back, and then Gabe and Reagan. You heard Gabe this morning, and Reagan here, and Riley and Josie have come from Georgia, and we're grateful for that. And then Ruthie, we know there's going to be a day when we're going to be able to announce Ruthie and but until that day, you are wonderful who you are as a person. And I'm so proud of all of my kids. I could not ask for a better situation. And I could not imagine this when we started having children. But God has richly blessed us, and I am so thankful for all of you and how you're raising your kids, all except for Ruthie. She's going to do that later in the right time. I'm proud of the way that you are living for Christ. All of you are living for Christ. I just can't tell you how proud I am of that. I want you to know that. Well, let's look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 11, and I'm going to read through verse 15. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and the devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. That's our part. You must teach these things, Paul is saying to Titus, to us. You must teach these things, encourage the believers to do them, not just talk about them. And you have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. So let's talk about what Paul is instructing Titus in, it's a very important doctrine. It's a doctrine that is talked about in other places in the Scripture, but it's repeated here for us to look at. And that's the doctrine of incarnation. If you haven't ever heard that word, it's a Latin word. It's focused on the life of Jesus becoming flesh. Many times people talk about Jesus was a good person. He was a great prophet. He taught us a lot about God. But do you realize Jesus himself is God? He lived a life. It says in the beginning of the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the exact representation of God. He came in the flesh. Even though he lived as the divine Son of God, he came in the flesh. And that's what's taught in the incarnation. One of the things that Paul struggled with the Galatians, is that there was a group of people who believed that Jesus, yes, he was the Son of God, but he didn't come in the flesh. This is what Paul says in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. He was born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those. Who are those? Us. So that he might redeem us who are under the law, who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, daughters of God. That blessing God gave to us through the power of the incarnation. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said this, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." John 1:14-18. The Word became flesh, incarnation. That's where that word comes from. In the Latin, it's translated as that. "And dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This term was coined when the Bible was translated into Latin. And it gives us that affirmation that only through his power, only through him coming in the flesh were we given the opportunity to experience the things we are going to talk about today. So I want to take a few minutes to talk about the power of the incarnation. First of all, through the power of the incarnation, Jesus secured salvation for all mankind. Notice what he says there, "for the grace of God." His tenderness, his compassion, his willingness to do for us what we could not do for ourselves was given to us through the sending of his only Son. "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people." And I hope that your translation of the Scripture says that, to all people. He could have. We believe God the Holy Spirit wrote the Scripture. He inspired it, gave direction to the people who were penning it. So if he wanted to, he could have said, This revelation that he has revealed has been revealed to the chosen. He could have said, this revelation of salvation has been revealed to those who have been elected. He could have said, this revelation, this salvation, was revealed to just the Jewish people. He could have said a lot of things there, but what did he say? What did God the Holy Spirit want for us to understand? That God's revelation through Jesus Christ of his salvation was made known to all people. It's made known to all mankind. It's like what he says in Romans chapter 1 when he talks about the reality of salvation being revealed to all. So when God in his revelation gave us a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, he sent to us, as John talks about in 1 verse 9, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every person. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, is there going to be some people in heaven that say, Lord, I didn't know that you had sent your son Jesus. I didn't know that you had revealed this great grace to us. Nope, there's not going to be anybody who can say. That's what he's saying in Romans chapter 1. He's saying that you do not have an excuse. I do not have an excuse to say, oh God, you were not just. He made us all sinners. We chose to sin. But he has bundled us up so that we can have salvation in one way, through the person of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. You remember what they were doing in Revelation chapter 5. It talks about that they sang a new song, worthy are you. Who were they speaking to? Jesus himself. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. There's not just a small group of people that Jesus died to redeem. He died to redeem all of us. Salvation is available to all, but salvation is not received by all. Meaning, you and I have to take part in this process. God has done the hard work. All we have to do is believe and then live out of that belief in who Jesus is. I mentioned earlier in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within. For God made it evident to them. Who did God make it evident to? All mankind. Jesus himself died to redeem all mankind. We're given this precious gift. Why? Because the grace of God has been revealed to us. Because the grace of God has been given to us. That's why we can come to this moment with confidence. Jesus has secured for us what we could not have done on our own. Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He said, He who committed no sin was made, excuse me, I still messed it up. He who knew no sin, meaning Jesus, he knew no sin. So that we could do what? So that we could have his righteousness in our life. And that leads us to the second thing I want you to look at about the power of the incarnation. Jesus gives us the power to live in this evil world. My friend, if you're trying to live to please God, to please yourself, to please others by your own flesh, without the transforming work of God in your life, you are always going to be disappointed. You are always going to fall short. It's just like jumping over the Grand Canyon. We're always going to miss in our own flesh. But when the power of God is living inside of us through the power of the incarnation, that's when you and I can live in the midst of this evil world. Someone said, Mark Payne was sharing it with me, that, you know, Earth is the most, anybody without Christ will experience heaven. And Earth, for us as believers, is as close as we'll ever get to hell. You know, people say, oh man, I'm living my best life ever. I don't know if you're living in this world. Because this is a messed up place. It's a place of chaos. There are so many things happening in our world today, in the United States, across the globe. How could this be a great thing? Aren't you looking forward to something greater than here? I am. I'm looking for something that's going to give me joy and fulfillment, and not just for time, but is going to give me that for all eternity. You and I are given the power to live in the midst of this evil world. And what does he say in that verse? Verse 12. We live in this evil world with wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. He gives it to us. You know, we like to think sometimes, or people like to think, that they have the wisdom of the world. I'm a doctor, or whatever it is that you want to say. I've been well educated. That doesn't mean you have the wisdom of God in your life just because you've gone to college, just because you've graduated. Wisdom, righteousness. Do you ever look at yourself as being righteous? Are you too worried about the things that you have done? Are you too worried about, well, you know, you don't know me. You don't know my past. You don't know the things that I have been through. I really don't care, to be honest. I do care that you receive, like I have myself, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that one day when God looks at you and asks you, why should I let you into my kingdom? If he were to say it like that, he may say it some different way. But what would you say? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you only have one thing to say. Because I have trusted in the righteousness of Jesus. That has been applied to me. So, with wisdom, we live in this world of evil. With righteousness, we live in this world of evil. And with devotion to God, we live in this evil world. Because he has given us that power. You and I live with devotion to God, not because we think that's a good idea. Jesus said that no one comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. So you and I live our life of devotion to God, not by the power of our flesh, but by the power of the Spirit. A few months ago, my in-laws wanted a flag put on the side of their house. They'd had one, and it had come undone. And I went out there and looked at it, evaluated it, said, okay, well, I'm going to go get my electric drill. Have you ever tried to drill through brick with just an electric drill? I'm not talking about the mortise. I'm talking about the actual brick. I spent, I don't know how long, 2-3 hours probably. And then I went and got something called a hammer drill. For those of you who don't know, this is an amazing thing. Do you know how long it took me with that hammer drill to get through that brick? About 1 minute. That's how long it took. I tried in my own strength to do this, to accomplish this. I was using electricity, not a battery-powered drill, but it wouldn't get through. But the moment I got a hammer drill, it got through. That's like it is sometimes in our journey of faith. We feel like, well, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to give it all of my strength. I'm going to give it all the power that I have. And we've got this tiny little spot, not even a half an inch. But when we get the power that God gives to us, we can live with the wisdom that he has given to us. We can live with the righteousness that he has given to us. And we can live with true devotion to God. Not just something out of the flesh. Because it says in Romans chapter 8, in the flesh we cannot please God. It's not possible for us. But in the Spirit, in the Spirit, we can do supernatural things. We can see God do amazing things in our life. You know the little gymnast, Simone Biles, and someone said, I think this is her fifth world championship. You think of her power. I don't know all of where her belief system is, but you think of what she has done in human strength. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? But my friend, think of what you can do with God's strength in your life. Think of what you can accomplish. And that is what Paul is trying to say to Titus, that he wants for Titus to pass on to the believers that are there in Crete. Hey guys, don't try to live by the flesh. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You have been given the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, when you think about your life, are you trying to live the Christian life your own strength, by your own power, by what the flesh can do? We could not have sung a better song than the last one we sang about, I am going to trust you. I'm not going to do all this and say, oh, well, God did it. Or I'm not going to have a plan B. I'm going to trust you to guide me in this process, to live through me, to show the world the power of God that can work when we surrender to Him. But there's a third thing that's spoken of here, and that is that Jesus makes us all the people of God. Jesus makes us all the people of God. He gives us, it talks about here, he says, verse 13, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. And then it goes on to say, He gave us His life to free us. To free us from what? To free us from every kind of sin. To cleanse us. To make us His very own people. That's how we cry out to Him as children of God. We cry out to Him as a son or daughter made new by the power of Jesus' resurrection, by the transformation that He has brought into our life, by the power of the Spirit living in us. That's how we can say to God, Father, otherwise we couldn't say that to Him. We would just simply be praying to a God. But what are we given through the life of Jesus? We are given the opportunity to come to Him as a son or daughter of God and to seek His face. He gives us the hope of eternal life. He frees us from sin. He cleanses us and He makes us the people of God. God Himself has given us that kind of grace. It says in 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. 2 Timothy 4:18. 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away along with its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. John 6, verses 38 through 40 says, for I have come down from heaven, this is Jesus speaking, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that all that He has given me. I lose nothing. But raise it up on the last day, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him or her up on the last day. God not only wants us to follow Him for the time that we have here on this earth, but God has given us the opportunity to experience for eternity what it means to be a son or daughter of God. He has given that to us. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 17, I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about this. Romans chapter 8, let's start in verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the law, under the control of their sinful nature, can never please God. But that's not true of you. That's not true of those of you who have followed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living inside you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him. Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that reality. We're going to do away with the perishable, and we're going to take on the imperishable. In verse 11, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. The Spirit of God is not some spirit that's out there in the world. The Spirit of God is something that's in your heart that God gave you when you put your faith and trust in Him, in His Son. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. When we stop and think about the power that Jesus has given to us to live as children of God, to be received by Him, not as a stranger, but as a child that He loves and that He cares about. This, my friend, we should teach to others. We should share that same concept and idea with those that we know, that we love, that we care about, strangers, we are to tell these things. It says in verse 15, back in Titus chapter 2, verse 15, says, you must teach these things and encourage the believers to what? Talk about them among themselves? No. He says to do them. You have been given authority, much like what Jesus has said to his disciples in the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and be a disciple maker. Do the work that I have called you to do. As I mentioned earlier, we're living in a day where there are wars, and there's rumors of war. We're living in a day where disasters are in abundance. We're living in a day where disease has taken so many lives. Most recently, the war between Israel and Hamas that has been declared should cause us, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 24, it should cause us to think. Not to just think, oh, well, the world's continuing to go on. No. There's going to come a day. There's going to come a day where those who have trusted Jesus are going to be separated from those who have not trusted in his forgiveness. And in that day, it is important for all of us, for you and for me, to have sided with the right team. And folks, the Word of God says, not just in one place, but in multiple places, the only way to experience everything that God wants to give us by His grace is through the power of the incarnation of His Son, Jesus. And our belief that that is true, our acceptance of that reality, and then we live out of that reality. It's not just enough to say a simple prayer and say, okay, well, you're saved. Don't worry about anything else for the rest of your life. God not only wants to save us by His grace, but He wants to sanctify us by His grace. He wants to make us like His Son, Jesus. The only question is, are we living in a way that will experience that? Have we? Have you? I know I have. I know my family has. And I'm grateful for that. But have you trusted Jesus Christ alone for what He wants to give to us? He wants to give us in the incarnation the blessing of God's grace through salvation, the blessing of God's grace to have the power to live in this evil world. And He wants to give us the blessing of being a child of God. Let's pray together.